Amen. Thank you, Everthirst. Where are you finding hope in COVID? It's got to be in Jesus. It's so difficult to be apart from everybody, but we need to maintain that confidence. We're going to study for Lent, and I've told you this, you can get it on Amazon cheaply and quickly. Another book by Max Lucado. Max Lucado is a preacher, so the way he writes is very simple and direct with people, very clear, good thoughts, and I've used some of his books before, but this one attracted me because of COVID, and especially this anniversary reaction we must be having after 1 year. Psychologists tell us that any traumatic event a year later continues to hammer us in new ways. And his title is Anxious for Nothing, Finding Calm in the Chaotic World. And I'm going to read to you just a little bit of how he starts the book today. I won't do that often, but it gives you a flavor that might encourage you to bring yourself to buying the book and reading it and thinking about it with me. He writes, "It's a low-grade fear, an edginess, a dread, a cold wind that won't stop howling. It's not so much a storm as the certainty that one is coming, always coming. Sunny days are just an interlude. You can't relax. You can't let down your guard. All peace is temporary, short term. It's not the sight of a grizzly, but the suspicion of one, or two, or ten, behind every tree, beyond every turn. It's inevitable. It's just a matter of time until the grizzly leaps out from behind the shadows, bares its fangs, and gobbles you up, along with your family, your friends, your bank account, your pets, your country. There's trouble out there, so you don't sleep well." Sound a little like COVID to you? Did to me. "You don't laugh often. You don't enjoy the sun. You don't whistle as you walk. And when others do, you give them that look. That look. That are you naive look. You may even give them a word. Haven't you read the news? Haven't you heard the reports? Haven't you seen the studies? This is no time to relax. Airplanes fall out of the sky. Bull markets go bare. Terrorists terrorize. Good people turn bad. The other shoe will drop. Fine print will be found. Misfortune lurks out there. It's just a matter of time. Anxiety is a meteor shower of what-ifs. What if I don't close the sale? What if I don't get a bonus? What if we can't afford braces for our kids? What if the kids have crooked teeth? What if crooked teeth keep them from having friends, a career, or a spouse? What if they end up homeless and hungry, holding up a cardboard sign that reads, 'My parents couldn't afford braces for me'?" Anxiety is trepidation. A native Hawaiian once told me the origin of the name that islanders use for us non-Hawaiians, haole, is a word in Hawaiian for no breath. The name became associated with European immigrants who in the 1820s came over. There are various explanations for this term, but I like the one this Hawaiian gave me. "Our forefathers thought the settlers were always in a hurry. A hurry to build plantations, harbors, ranches. To the native Hawaiians, they seemed short of breath." You feel short of breath these days? "Well, look for these signals," Max tells us. "Are you laughing less than you did once? Do you see the problems in every promise? With those who you know best, would they describe you as increasingly negative and critical? Do you assume that something bad is going to happen? Do you dilute and downplay the good news and doses of your version of reality? Many days, would you rather stay in bed than get up? Do you magnify the negative and dismiss the positive? Well, for me, that introduction that Max says kind of sums up COVID. So we're going to look into Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's by far the most personal of his correspondence. His heartfelt expression of love for the people in his life, particularly the women and leaders of the church at Philippi. You see, Philippi was a Roman colony. It was created for retired military. So it had a special standing in the Roman Empire, even though it was outside of Rome. It was a higher economic bracket. It was a well thought of town with people with wealth and trade. There we meet Lydia. She's known in Scripture as the woman of purple. Purple dye was especially expensive, and she created cloth dyed with this purple, and she herself was wealthy, but he writes to her as his cohort, along with two other women. It's very interesting that in Philippi, the women were the ones that started the church. Along with Lydia, he talks about Euodia and Syntyche as co-workers in the Philippian church. And he says those that are involved in that work and those who have that faith, their names will be listed in the book of life. Already he was talking about in the very early days that God has a plan for us. If there's one thing that encapsulates Paul's reaction to these people in Philippi, it is rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Max Lucado's first three chapters all emphasize the word rejoice. Rejoice is such an important word. It means that the Lord is near. It means that we can celebrate. You see, Maranatha is a word you might have heard. In the 60s, it became a kind of new generation denomination. Maranatha means, come quickly, Lord Jesus. These eager people were excited about Jesus. They couldn't wait to meet him. And that their love and their peace would surpass all understanding. So with that in mind, let me read the scripture for today found in Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. The word of the Lord. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, my beloved, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, on these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. We pray with me. Lord God, as we think about this, as we explore with Max Lucado ways to give our anxiety to you, ways to celebrate you, Lord, open our hearts and our lives to your love for us, to your love for those who live next to us, for those in our community, for those who are our teachers, for those whose daily struggle is so difficult in this COVID experience. And give us your peace. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, and Lord, please do what you would have. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three types of relationships. There are outward relationships, those that are social encounters. You know, whether it's with the grocer or with the most postman. There are inward ones, how we relate to ourselves. Do we beat ourselves up or do we care for ourselves, take care of ourselves? And upward, our relationship with God. Paul delighted in relationships. He established and maintained these throughout the far-flung ministry of his world. Today's readings from this letter of the Philippian church that remind us that even though he was under house arrest, far away from those he cared about, he was comforted by the mere thought of the brothers and sisters praying for him, caring for him, and living out the love of Christ. They, according to Paul, were his joy and crown. He had been strengthened by the knowledge of their relationship with him. He calls them friends. He calls them family. So did Paul have some secret way of establishing these relationships? No. Relationships aren't a magic thing. They take time and energy. They take us being thankful for another person. They take us reaching out and using that as a way to talk to other people. Here are some COVID questions that maybe you could answer. Parents, what color eyes does your child's homeroom teacher have? Or does the receptionist at the doctor's office own a dog? If so, what's its name? The kid handing you a hamburger at the drive-in had a name tag on. What was on it? You can have a personal relationship with so many people just by acknowledging them. A relationship is not solely defined by the length of its duration. It's when a genuine connection is made between people. Now, even during COVID, we have the opportunity to continue to make individual connections with people. But so often, we're in such a rush, even though we're isolated. Even though this COVID experience has locked us down, we are in a hurry to finish our business so that we can sit and be bored and feel claustrophobic. You see, isolation is a bad thing. It ruins us. But also, the way that we're wired hurts us during this COVID experience. My psychological guess is that Americans are the worst at coping with COVID. Why? Because we lead the most anxious society in the world. We know that as Americans, we are worry people. It's insidious among us. We are people that don't listen and calm down. We are always on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And we worry if those things aren't happening. And then the worry spirals our attention. And it clogs our lives. You know, there was a writer who one day complimented a woman in Ruston, Louisiana on her jewelry. She smiled and said, "Thank you, I collect gems." And this person agreed. He said, "It shows." She said, "No, no, no. I don't collect those gems," pointing to her necklace and her earrings. She said, "I collect real gems, like the gem of a husband, the gem of a daughter, the gem of a friend, the gem of a pastor. Those are real gems that I invest in." What gems do you invest in? During COVID, it's easy for us to be anxious all the time. We as Americans are known for the highest anxiety level of any other people in the world. It's been documented time and time again. You remember that Harry Chapman song, "Cats in a Cradle"? You know, at various stages of his childhood and teenage years, the son keeps asking, "When are you coming home, Dad?" And each time the father replies, "I don't know when, but we'll get together soon, son. We'll get together then." And we feel the angst of misplaced priorities. Are our priorities in order? You see, the truth is, life's real crown is found in rich and meaningful personal relationships. Are you giving a chance for those to happen even during COVID? I know that I'm guilty of shutting down. My best friend told his wife that I haven't reached out to him in a long, long time. He lives in Portland, Oregon. And he said, "Does he not like me anymore?" No. COVID has closed my world. So I called him. Who do you need to call? You see, it is told that the United States is the most anxious nation in the world, and stress-related ailments have cost us $300 billion every year in medical bills and in lost productivity. We have gone from 1997 to 2004, and those are the statistics I could find, to have doubled our spending on anti-anxiety medication. And I would bet it spiked even more during this COVID. Now, you wonder how that can be. We live in the safest nation on the planet. Our cars are safer than ever. We regulate our food, water, and electricity. Yes, there are gangs out there, but most Americans live in safety. Yet worry, as Max Lucado puts it, if it were an Olympic event, we would win the gold medal. Well, he starts his book by saying we, like Paul tells us, should be anxious for nothing. In fact, God calls us, through Paul's voice, to rejoice. Let us remember that as today we go through our annual congregational Zoom meeting. We're all nervous about it. We're all nervous about how do we do it and how do we make it happen. Our leadership has poured hours. John Favalesa has poured hours into how he can communicate it. Pray. And then let's be caring with one another as we attempt a very new thing in our annual meeting. Amen? Amen.